you'll find a copy of the Holy Scriptures in the Authorized Version before you're in the pew. Pick up that Bible and turn with me to 2 Kings at the chapter 6, the 6th chapter of 2 Kings. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament part of the Bible, the first part of the Bible, and you'll find our reading at the page 412, page numbered 412. We're reading from verse 8 down to verse 23 of this portion of the Word of God. And we read it together in the Lord's Day morning, taking your time from me. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I might send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those when thou wast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And God will stamp this reading from the infallible book with his own divine seal of approval and blessing. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. I have for my subject of this morning the greatest defense force in all the world. Turn with me to chapter 6 of 2 Kings, which we read together. And turn to that one verse that you will find in that great chapter, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The chief distinguishing mark of all Elisha's ministry is spelt out in capital letters. When we look at the request that he made to his master Elijah, before Elijah was taken by a whirlwind into heaven. And he said to Elijah, he wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And Elijah said, if you watch me go up, you will receive that double spirit. And so he did. Many of the great exploits which Elisha did are tied into the enemy nation of Syria, that murderous neighbor that Israel had in those days, who murdered the children of God. The first reference of Elisha and Syria was in the case of Naaman, the great Syrian commander-in-chief, who invaded Israel and took from the heart of Israel a little captive servant maid. Now Naaman took the awful plague of leprosy. And the little girl had a heart of love even for her enemy. And she said, would God he would go to the prophet that dwells in Samaria, Elisha. And there Elisha could cure him of his leprosy. And of course Naaman went and was healed by the power of God flowing to him through the ministry of Elisha. Elisha had other dealings with Syria. He announced to Syria when a new king was going to be given to them. And he also, on his deathbed, announced to the king of Israel what victories he was going to gain over Syria in coming days. But this special incident that I want this morning to dwell with you on deserves our wholehearted attention. Elisha's bodyguard army. Open the young man's eyes. And when his eyes were opened, what did he behold? He saw that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. This is a tremendous story of the power of God. I don't know if you have ever noticed when you've been studying the Word of God that every great historical event in the Bible, every great experience of a man or woman of God, of God's power and deliverance, there is a corresponding promise of God. Over against this portion of God's Word in the 6th chapter of 2 Kings, you can set the great promise of Psalm 34 and verse 7. What does that say? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. There is the promise, and there is a witness to God keeping his promise. The wicked and bloodthirsty king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, hated Elisha and all that Elisha stood for. And one day, Elisha's servant Gehazi, a young man who was afterwards stricken with leprosy because of his disobedience to God, he rose early in the morning, and behold, the mountains round about Dothan were crowded with a great army, multitudes of horsemen, multitudes of footmen, multitudes of soldiers, all coming to arrest Elisha. The young servant was terrified. He cried out in fear and anguish. Elisha said, open his eyes. Let him see what I see. The young man's eyes were opened, and that young man saw the mountains filled with different horsemen, the horsemen of the chariots of fire of Jehovah God. And he saw that they were all surrounding, encompassing, encircling Elisha, and keeping him from any trouble. This, of course, was the 15th miracle that the great man Elisha had done. Because if you study the scriptures, you will find that he had a double portion of the Spirit. So he did exactly double the miracles that Elijah did. Elijah did 8 miracles. Elisha, who had a double portion of the Spirit, did 16. Now, I'm not going to list those 16 miracles because you wouldn't go back to the Bible and look for them yourself. But just go back yourself and count the miracles that he did. In the Bible, there are records of people struck with blindness. There are 9 instances in the whole of the Bible to that fact. And in this chapter, the army of Syria was stricken with blindness. But the man Gehazi had his eyes opened, and he saw the provision of God for the protection and deliverance of his servant. This man, Elisha, was a man specially owned and honored of the Lord. And what a man he was. God's man is invincible when God dwells with him. God's man brings about eye-openers when he does his ministry correctly. God's man brings about demonstration of victory and the overcoming of the enemies of God. God's man is a special instrument in the hands of God Almighty. This young man got his eyes wide open. The enemies of Elijah got their eyes tight shut. Notice the contrast in this chapter. But when the young man's eyes were open, he saw things in the right perspective. Syria wasn't all-powerful. The enemies of God are not all-powerful. Those that fight with God are not all-powerful. There is one powerful God, and that is the God that neither slumbers nor sleeps. Why should we fear a frowning world? Although the earth's foundation shake, the rocks into the sea be hurled, and nature all in pieces break. The Lord Jehovah's our defense. His love supports our sinking hearts. The rock of his omnipotence, immortal joy and strength imparts. Though through flames of fire we safely go, receive no harm and feel no pain. The waves cannot our heads o'erflow when crossing the tempestuous main. Through seas of blood and fields of death, we march with dauntless courage on, immortal, until God takes our breath, immortal, till our work is done. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Elisha was so united with God. He was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message, that there wasn't any fear in his heart as he stood there alone on the battlements of the city of Gotham, surrounded by his foes. And his only prayer was, "Fear not!" Open the young man's eyes. And the blinded army of the Syrians was put into tumult and disarray, and God's man got the victory. Why? Because he had the greatest defense army that he could have. As we go down this blessed portion of God's word, we rejoice in what God does for his people. I would pray today that in the darkness of earth's pilgrimage for you, and in the days when trials come, and in the days when testings come, and in the days when temptations come, and in the days when everybody says all is lost, I trust you will be like Elisha. You shall have your eyes open to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Infinite grace, and can it be that heaven supreme should stoop so low to visit one so vile as me, one who has been his bitterest foe? Can holiness and wisdom join with truth, with justice, and with grace to make eternal blessings mine, and sin with all its guilt erase? O love beyond conception great, that formed the vast stupendous plan, where all divine perfections meet to reconcile rebellious man. Their wisdom shines in fullest brilliance, and justice all her rights maintain. Astonished angels stoop to gaze, while mercy o'er the guilty reigns. Yes, mercy reigns, and justice too. They both in Christ harmonious meet. He paid to justice all her due, and now he fills the mercy seat. Such are the wonders of our God, and such the amazing depths of grace, to see if from wrath, the digging abroad, the chosen sons of Adam's race. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Finally, let us take a parting look at Elisha. Elisha's life was one great, living, vibrant message. He was a living servant. His life was a sermon of power, a witness to the power of God upon him. Never did he lack courage. He was a courageous man. He was fearless of men because he truly feared God. Like a bold lion, he roared against evil, and he gave himself wholly up to the great agenda God had set for him. What a man is this Elisha. We can see him in the royal palace, where he stands and rebukes kings and queens. We can see him in the army camps, as he delivers a message straight from the shoulder to the evil king's heart. You will find him weeping in the household of the bereaved. You will hear his protests and divine judgments against every form of evil. These were the fearless and faithful condemnations of a man of God. His dress was clean. His manner was clean. His speech was clean. Over and over again, he served his country. He exercised supreme power. And over all the powers that be in his age, he won God's final and absolute victory. He built the schools of the prophets and gave them a very high position and place in the nation. He has been called the John of the prophetic era and the Barnabas of the Old Testament. Note carefully that Elijah's life in the New Testament is lined up with John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? He was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Elijah was the forerunner of Elisha. And Elisha is a type of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. A.W. Pink, the great Bible expositor, draws attention to the partnership that was forged between Elijah and Elisha. The study of that partnership is very important indeed. In fact, I would call your attention to the pairs in Scripture. Enoch is linked with Noah. Moses is linked with Aaron. Caleb is linked with Joshua. Naomi is linked with Ruth. Ezra is linked with Nehemiah. The great sending of the first disciples that were sent out two by two. In closing, could I draw your attention to the death of Elijah, or rather the death that didn't come to Elijah. Elijah came down into Jordan, and he went down into Jordan. Elijah came up out of Jordan. Elijah ascended to heaven by the whirlwind. The committal of Elijah's mantle was given to Elisha. So the descent of the Spirit is upon Christ, because it says he received the Spirit without measure. Elijah is the type of Christ. Elijah is the wonderful type of the forerunner of Christ. He comes to the Jordan, but the Jordan cannot wipe him out. Jesus Christ was not wiped out at death. He himself wiped out death. He goes down in to the Jordan, but he comes up out of the Jordan, and he is taken to heaven in a whirlwind. Our Lord Jesus Christ died, rose again, ascended to heaven, sits at God's right hand, and hallelujah, he's coming again. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is coming again. I hope you thanked him this week that he's coming again. The heavens shall glow with splendor, but brighter far than they. The saints shall shine in rapture as Christ shall them array. And the beauty of the Savior will dazzle every eye. Hallelujah. For the crowning day is coming by and by. Are you ready? Say, if he came now, and many of you would be left behind in these church pews. And many would go in a whirlwind to heaven. But Elisha, the wonderful man who came after Elisha went on to do the great job that it was appointed him to do. And Christ has died and rose again and has ascended into heaven. And upon his church rests the great Spirit of God. Pentecost is history. The Spirit of God has come upon his people. And today we can rejoice and acknowledge the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let us today make up our minds that as for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy good and gracious word. Write it on all our hearts. If we're blind, open our eyes to see the great army that guides and guards the people of God. If we're unsaved, save us by thy grace and cleanse us in the blood. If we're backslidden in heart, restore us to the joy of God's salvation. And make our visit to this house this day a visit of grace and a blessing and a power for Jesus' sake. And the people of God say, Amen.